Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
You know, I have to admit that AEW Dynamite could be a hot mess more often than not. Almost like fulfilling little fantasies and, you know, for a very niche audience. But I got to be honest with you. In the last 24 hours, I am very much reminded on how much of a good place the world of pro wrestling is right now with regards to our immediate future. Whether WWE gets sold or not, you know, whether AEW grows or stays as is, which is not that bad if you really think about it. You know, I'm looking at even the rundown of NXT Stand and Deliver so far, and you look at, you know, Gigi Dolin is obviously going to be the next WWE megastar. I mean, I think everybody sees that coming. People are starting to understand why I always, you know, thought of her as the next Paige, if you know where I go with this. I mean, Grayson Waller, who would have ever thought that Grayson Waller would turn into a you know, legitimate star? I mean, what was it, a year ago? People are, you know, call them like a combination of John Cena and Vanilla Ice with a bad accent. Guy's one of the most entertaining stars on TV today. You look at Wes Lee. I mean, Wes Lee, he's knocking it out of the park right now. Even these women, maybe Fallon James, Kiana James and Fallon Henley, little too soon. But Alba Fire, you know, you could see she finally, you know, it's putting it all together. And, you know, you just see what's going on with her. I can't wait for these guys to go to the main roster. Pretty Deadly. Then, obviously, you got Bron Breakker, who is main roster bound. Carmelo Hayes, who is going to be a mega, mega star in the making. And do not forget about Trick Williams. Do not forget about Trick Williams. And then you carry over tonight. And obviously, we know the value of MJF. But when you see him in the ring, you know, with Jungle Boy, and they have a little bit of a verbal confrontation, and then you see him in the ring with Darby Allin, and they're having a little bit of a back and forth, and then you see them with Sammy Guevara. And we didn't even talk about Wardlow and Powerhouse Hobbs, and there is at least another 10 stars between both brands that, you know, 2 years from now, I mean, I think the future of pro wrestling is in a pretty good place right now. I know that there's a lot of them are smaller guys, but, you know, Eddie Guerrero wasn't this huge. I mean, look, Eddie Guerrero, I mean, his weight, why did his weight increase? Let's be honest. You look at Ray. Jericho is not this tremendous heavyweight. Jericho was always looked at as a cruiserweight. You know, you look over the years. I mean, not everybody's got to be over 250, 260 pounds. And listen, you know, you look at big men. We just brought up Wardlow. We brought up Powerhouse Hobbs. You look at WWE, and they got a lot of big men as well. I'm just pointing out people right now that in 2 years could be semi-main eventing, you know, WrestleMania. It's possible. I mean, not all of them are going to ever go to WWE. But I think when you really start looking at some of the stars of tomorrow, I think pro wrestling is in a pretty good place. Is pro wrestling what it was 10, 15 years ago? No. Was it what it was back in the 80s and the 90s? Not even close. But we got to take what we got. We got no choice, everyone. This is what's presented to us. Either we enjoy what we... Listen, you will never force me. You will never force me to like something or someone simply because other people like it. You know, if it doesn't pass the smell test for me, I'll be honest with you, tell you, I'm not really interested. And listen, we got some news about AEW and Forbidden Door. And it kind of hit me today. Oh, no. Oh, no wonder Juice Robinson attacked Ricky Starks last week. Oh, no wonder they showed Bullet Club on the screen last week when everybody's like, wait a minute, Juice Robinson is part of AEW. Why are they bringing up Bullet Club? Oh, I get it. I get it. Now we're going to be influxed for the next couple of months. We are going to be fucking influxed with New Japan storylines once again on TV. If New Japan was so well accepted in the United States, why does their show on Access TV get less than what you would get in a baseball game? I mean, they get 30, 40, 45,000 viewers. 45,000 fucking viewers. This is for the niche audience. And listen, if the niche audience is happy, that's all good. Like I said, AEW does not have to be the next WWE. You know, people want to keep them both in the same sentence. But then when the ratings are 800,000, 900,000, 300,000, 400,000, that's when everybody's like, well, why are you comparing them to WWE, but everybody wants to keep them in the same sentence? And that's because a lot of stars that we used to see in WWE are now in AEW. You know, some people who are in AEW now will go to WWE. Listen, some stars in WWE will eventually go to AEW. It is what it is. But to be honest with you, you know, overall, I'm pretty happy where wrestling is going. You know, but as far as the little niche things, it's not my cup of coffee. And listen, it's not a lot of people's cup of coffee. You know, I mean, when they announced Forbidden Door, and by the way, I got all the details from my Canadian friends out there who may want to go to some of these AEW events because they're actually going to have six events in Canada. But Forbidden Door is going to be in Canada. New Japan, AEW in Canada. And listen, that crowd tonight was awesome. Tonight was the first time since 2009 that Chris Jericho wrestled in Winnipeg. 14 years. That's a long time. Now, you know, Canada is great for pro wrestling. I mean, I can't remember the last time that the Canadian wrestling fans at an event were dead. I mean, they love their pro wrestling. Forbidden Door might be the best place to do it is in Canada, you know. But for me, you know, the New Japan influence, you know, you could see it even tonight, you know, teasing Hangman Page back with the Elite. You know, this is more to shift to the Forbidden Door stuff down the line. And as you saw in the thumbnail for tonight's show, and I might change it to the Four Pillars. I'm not sure. It depends what time I go to sleep tonight. But as of right now, you know, the thumbnail that I have for tonight's show talks about, you know, John Moxley and Bryan Danielson. You know, they're forcing, you know, the Blackpool Combat Club now as a trios team, trios titles. They show up while we're getting this fun main event with the Elite versus the House of Black versus the Jericho Appreciation Society. But, oh, the Blackpool Combat Club, though, are four individuals. So why did Bryan Danielson go home? Legitimately, I'm in a ton of pain. I wrestled for over 65 minutes. I've got a black eye. I can't lift my arm. Daddy's in a lot of pain right now. I don't know when I'm going to be returning to pro wrestling. Interpretation, the Blackpool Combat Club now are heels. The Blackpool Combat Club have a different attitude. And by keeping Bryan Danielson at home, I don't know when I'm going to be coming back. You know what that avoids? Hey, Bryan Danielson, how do you feel about your fellow Blackpool Combat Club members and their change of attitude recently? You know, nobody brings that up. So when Bryan Danielson does come back, you will get this. No, you will get this. There you go. We'll probably see Bryan Danielson feud with John Moxley. We'll see Bryan Danielson feud with Claudio. Bryan Danielson feuding with Wheeler Yuta. You know, I care as much as, you know, the fans seeing Nicole Matthews tonight against Jay Cargill. And you know what? I'm saying that joking. Nicole Matthews ended up being the opponent for Jay Cargill. Nicole Matthews is a veteran. I've actually seen her work in Shimmer. I remember she was in the Mae Young Classic, and I actually had to look it up to see who she wrestled in the Mae Young Classic, and she took on Tegan Knox. There's a funny little story about Nicole Matthews a lot of you don't know, and I'll share with you right now. And by the way, yes, I have a little bit of an announcement in a few moments. It's not the announcement that you think it's going to be, but it has to do with this. This went down last night. The Patreon Forbidden Door, Kevin Castle versus yours truly. It went down yesterday, 2 hours and 40 minutes long. So I got a little announcement in a few moments about that. So, and this announcement is for everybody. This is not just our Patreon family. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Nicole Matthews ended up being the opponent of Jade Cargill tonight. And Jade Cargill pretty much squashed her like a grape. But the big news coming out of it is after Jade Cargill won her match, and it was funny because we even said it last week. First of all, you know, you and I all called it last week. It was going to be Taya Valkyrie. You and I all called it last week that NXT was going to say that Roxanne Perez was dehydrated. So easy. It's easy to figure this stuff out. You know, when you look at it with, you know, with clear vision, you could see where a lot of this is going. But we said last week, if Jade Cargill does not take on Taya Valkyrie, they'll probably use somebody from Canada, have a squash match, and then if Taya Valkyrie signs, she will come out and confront Jade Cargill. And that's exactly what happened tonight. After Jade Cargill squashed Nicole Matthews, she's like, Canada, this is what you got? Even teased a little bit that she would take on Renee Young. But we find out that Taya Valkyrie has officially signed with AEW. And yes, she is now a member of All Elite Wrestling. And yes, she did come out tonight and confronted Jay Cargill. The only problem with it, she's going to be what? Victim number 55? You know, as much as I like the idea of Jay Cargill versus Taya Valkyrie, as of right now, it seems like there's only one outcome. You know, everybody that thinks that Cody Rhodes is going to lose at WrestleMania focuses on Roman Reigns reaching 1,000 days. You got to start asking yourself, what's the magic number that Jade Cargill has to reach before AEW even considers about her dropping the TBS title? 100 wins? 200 wins? 500 wins? I know that sounds nuts. It's not so nuts when you really think about it. So as much as I would be very intrigued to see Jade Cargill take on Taya Valkyrie, you know, didn't we kind of like say last week we hoped it would be like a Goldberg-Steven Regal? Anybody remember Goldberg versus Steven Regal in WCW Monday Nitro? That was fun at the time. Not fun for Steven Regal after the match was over because of the, you know, the ramifications. But you know, Jade Cargill's not going to go into business for herself. She's a professional. She is an outstanding performer. And she's probably going to force Jade Cargill to up it a notch. So to see the match is intriguing. But the outcome, I'm kind of worried about. So very quickly, the little backstory about Nicole Matthews, a lot of you will get a kick out of. She wrestled in the Mae Young Classic in 2018. Well, she did a Matt Stryker. And for those that don't know the story about Matt Stryker, and I witnessed it up close and personal because I was not on good terms with Matt Stryker back in the day for many reasons, which I know a lot of you know. Now there's no issues, but back in the day, Matt Stryker wanted to be in WWE, wanted to be in WWE so bad, was a teacher in our neck of the woods here in New York. And what he would do is he would actually, I don't remember the exact details, but he would call in sick and he would go to WWE events, you know, or the work dark or dark matches or whatever it is. He would do things and he got caught. And it became a little bit of a story here. The weird thing about it is it's amazing that it's over 15 years ago. It's been a long time. But Matt Stryker, you know, that was an interesting story back in the day that, you know, if you Google it, I'm sure there's an old article still up about it. But Nicole Matthews pretty much pulled a Matt Stryker. She is a Canadian resident. And in order to travel in the United States, you have to either have a travel visa or a work visa. She had a travel visa which means I'm on vacation. Work visa means I'm coming to do a little bit of work. She used a travel visa to come to the United States and work indie dates and the Mae Young Classic. So how Canada knew, I have no idea. Somebody had to have ratted her out. How somebody would even know that she had a travel visa instead of a work visa, I don't know, if you really think about it. But Canada found out and banned her from getting a visa to work in the United States. Actually, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if she got busted from the United States, and then maybe they reported it to Canada. Maybe that's what happened. But the bottom line was that she was not allowed to return to the United States for 5 years. Some reason it ended shortly, a little bit shorter. She was supposed to, I think until October of this year, it was supposed to run until, but it expired in February. That's why if you saw her name pop up a few days ago for a few shows in the United States, that's because Canada finally allowed her to obtain a visa once again, come to the United States. By the way, did you see on AEW tonight that QTV stuff, which is supposed to spoof TMZ? You know, very, very nonchalant. You know, QT Marshall acting like they have Wardlow's passport. Interpretation, Wardlow is not going to be performing on these shows in Canada. He's not performing on Rampage. Maybe he performs next week. But, yeah, that was just a way to explain why Wardlow isn't angry enough to show up and try to do something to Hobbs. Go to the ring and call somebody out. Oh, no, we got his passport, so... That's what it was. Only four matches tonight for AEW Dynamite. Only four matches. You know, we'll get into some quick results. We definitely need to talk about the Roxanne Perez situation because that is, and honestly, I wrote it in the synopsis, it's a hot mess. It's a hot mess. I'm going to try to make sense of it. We're going to try to make it seem better than what it is. I think people now realize not only is this all storyline, but a lot of this mirrors Shawn Michaels from the mid-90s. You know, what's next? Roxanne Perez loses her smile? I mean, honestly, if you look at every fucking photo of Roxanne Perez, in fact, even when she feuded with Cora Jade, I mean, I honestly don't remember ever being, like, pissed off. Like, she was, oh, everything, always smiling. And look, she's like a younger Bayley for a lot of fans. You know, a lot of people forget how much the fans fell in love with Bayley back in the day from NXT. And then when she came to the main roster, they serenaded her. It almost feels similar. That love for Bayley was a little different, you know, than other women that were coming up at the time. Roxanne Perez kind of reflects that. So we'll try to make sense of that in a minute, but let me just give you a little small announcement. Please keep this in perspective, right? Please. Because one of the reasons why this has not happened sooner, and that is yours truly, Kevin Castle. We started doing shows together in 2005, I believe, 18 years ago. We stopped doing shows several years ago. You know the reasons why. We ain't going back there. But, you know, for a while, you know, everything has been buried, you know, water under the bridge. We're both on the Patreon page still. There's thousands of hours of Patreon-exclusive shows there that I have done, he has done. He does a show every week there. And, you know, a lot of people on Patreon have been wanting us to do a reunion show. And, you know, we thought this past Tuesday with WrestleMania coming up and the controversy with John Cena and Vince McMahon, that controversy that broke out yesterday, it was like, wow, what a perfect opportunity to have a discussion. So we decided, okay, we were going to do a show on Patreon one time, and we were going to talk about WrestleMania, the Vince, John Cena stuff that came out yesterday, and some Q&A. We ended up going a little less than 3 hours yesterday, And everybody who is tuned in, our YouTube channel members already have it as well. And so it's the arrangement's always been that way. Every single person said podcast of the year. Amazing. It's as if nothing ever changed. You know, when you do shows with someone for almost 15 years, you know, you kind of, it's like riding a bicycle. So we were not making this public. Now, let me tell everybody right now, it is not coming on YouTube. And the main reason is because a lot of the intro has music from Sick of It All. And even though they loved our show back in the day, even though they always blessed us and said, yeah, use our music, they're not, you know, they're owned by a record label. And to go through the procedure of getting permission from a record label will take a very long time. You're not going to do all that for one episode. So although they have, we have their blessing, if I put it online, it's going to get hit with copyrights like that. So we decided we're going to put it on DonTony.com tomorrow. It'll be available for everybody. So for everyone out there, if you want to check out this reunion episode, we have a lot of interesting discussion. His views of WrestleMania 39 are a lot different than mine. You know, right off the bat, he is convinced Roman Reigns retains. Right off the bat, I think that's nuts. We had a great show yesterday. So it will be available on DonTony.com, on Blue Wire, on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, everywhere, wherever you access the audio shows. It'll be available tomorrow. Now, as far as in the future, you know, one of the reasons why we didn't do this sooner is because we know what comes with it. Oh, you should do it once a month. Oh, you got to bring the show back. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. You know, things have changed. You know, he does shows other places. I do shows that weren't around a couple of years ago. What I will tell you, and this is not a catchphrase, when I say never, I really mean it. I truly believe we will be doing several more shows this year. But they're going to mean something. It's got to be big news. Maybe if WWE is sold. Maybe if this happens or this happens. So will there be more? Can't tell you when, and I can't tell you, you know, but if we do more, we'll do the same setup. We'll release it on Patreon for everybody first, and then a day or two later, we'll release it for everybody else. So I will tell you this. If you were a fan of the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show, by the way, if you go to my Twitter, at Don Tony D, you will see hear a bunch of intros. I posted a bunch of intros, old school intros last night, from Donzilla versus The Voice of Wrestling, Don Tony and Kevin Castle versus Samoa Joe, the old Warriors intro. I put a bunch up yesterday. But if you were ever a fan of what we did, you want to tune into this show from yesterday. Because you would honestly, truly, the one thing I keep hearing over and over again, it's like, you guys never left. It just, we just started talking. And I'll tell you this much. The reason why it might be one of our best episodes we've ever done in 18 years is because his audio quality is 1,000 times better. Because I'm much more relaxed, and because of doing some Forbidden Doors with JD and Jason and Misha and Joe Cronin, you know, I have learned to pause and not open my big fat mouth and interrupt people all the time. So that was something else that a lot of people said. Yes, like, wow, there was no interruptions. There was none this, none that, none this. And we even had some, you know, retro discussions about old movie sequels and shit like that. So if you ever enjoyed what we do, download this episode. It'll be available tomorrow afternoon. And yeah, we will. It's, and the great thing about it is it will not get outdated anytime soon, because we talked about the Vince, Cena, lot of other discussions, WrestleMania 39. We didn't do TV results. We didn't do other things that 5 days from now, it's outdated. This episode, whether you tune in tomorrow or you tune in 2 weeks from now, you know, I think, you know, it will remain the same. So much love, much love. All right. Theme parks with Johnny. Thank you, my friend, with the $5 super chat. He remembers finding us through Epic Sports. Yes, Epic Sports, TV tracks. You know, they were the two places that a lot of people found our content from. And the funny thing is, you know, they were very, very kind and asked me up front, hey, is it all right if we put clips up? And trust me, they made a lot of money. They made a lot of money. I never saw a penny from Epic Sports. TV Tracks would sometimes, you know, he would actually subscribe to our Patreon channel and send a little, you know, well, I would consider extra bucks that way. But TV Tracks, for people that remember that channel because of Jason Solomonster and others, for those that don't know about TV Tracks, long story short, you know, the reason why he is no longer is because of that disaster from many years ago where YouTube pulled revenue. Remember all the wrestling podcasts and the wrestling streams and that Admageddon, whatever it was called? Once they did that, YouTube, for TV Tracks, the amount of work that that guy put in to put up all those clips. Remember, it's not just putting up clips. He listened to about 40 to 50 hours worth of wrestling shows a week. So when you post clips, you have to listen to the shows. And when something comes up that catches your ear, you put it. So the amount of work this guy put in, and he lost all of his revenue. And he sent me a DM back then. He's like, look, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. And I knew exactly what was going on. And I said, listen, thank you for everything you did. Never returned. Never returned. So Adpocalypse, that's what it was. Thank you, Relaxing Ghost. All right. Let's talk about NXT and AEW. Casey is rolling the two spot. How's the Haps? Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, I thought Dynamite tonight was a fun show. A little bit too much to digest at times. But, you know, if we're going to get the four pillars fighting each other for the AEW heavyweight title, I think that's cool beans. Definitely love that. You know, now we got Taya Valkyrie there. You know, I know the women don't get as much time as they should on Dynamite, but, you know, now they're signing the right people. They're not going to sign the Bellas or the Garcias, whatever you want to call it. You know, for some of you who asked me earlier my thoughts on that situation, I'll talk about it on Saturday, but I will recommend just do a search on my channel. Just type in Bellas, AEW. We had this discussion a couple of weeks ago. We had this discussion, in fact, it might have even been last week when they were in California and they were backstage at AEW. We already addressed all of this. You know, I never had ever in a million years ever thought that they would work out a deal with AEW unless it's a very, very loose deal where they could actually do a lot of other things. They're not going to wrestle. They're not going to wrestle. You know, Nikki Bella is a hustler, and I say that in a complimentary way right now. She ain't going to just come out there and tell people, look, I'm fucked up, I'm retired, I can't return, I can't risk this, I can't risk that. Brie Bella, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, people look at pictures of them from 10 years ago and they think, oh my God, you know, actually I think they would be great in AEW. You know, it's like when you see like indie wrestling events or conventions and you look at the billboard, or you look at the banner and you're like, oh my God, look at all these people showing up. And they usually show you pictures of these people in their prime. You know, and they don't even show you like recent pictures from 10 years ago. And then when you show up, it's like, who's that? Oh, you don't know who that is? That's Magnum TA. You know, like, and I'm not trying to single him out. I mean, he still looks phenomenal. God bless him. But, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, Bellas, could they work out a little deal? Sure. But we'll talk about Saturday. All right. So let's quickly run down the Roxanne Perez situation. All right. Then we'll get into some AEW results, NXT results. Stand and Deliver is really shaping up to be a great card. But let's talk a little bit about the Roxanne Perez situation. All right. Long story short, yesterday on NXT, Shawn Michaels comes out. Well, we see him, we hear him, they show the text. Shawn Michaels makes an announcement. First of all, they show some doctor from some institute, which is not even a hospital. And I know what some people are going to say, like, you know, can a doctor really, like, do that and be a character? If you listened to what this Dr. Baxter, or whatever his fucking name was, closely. He's talking about, you know, that she was severely dehydrated, and we don't know what the problem is, and we're doing additional tests, and we're doing this. And as I'm watching this, I got to take that off for a second. As I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, she just won the Iron Survivor Challenge. She cut a promo last week. I'm going to push my body to places it's never been before. That was earlier in the day before she collapsed. And I'm saying, and now they're doing this deal where she's released from the hospital and she's seeing doctors. And the doctors say that she was dehydrated and we don't know what's wrong. Well, any symptoms? Like, what's wrong? Does she keep passing out? Is she like a wind-up toy that she like just walks into walls? I mean, what's actually happening here? And, you know, listen, again, this is NXT. This is the minor leagues. Let's be honest. This is the school for future WWE stars. But, you know, even when you're watching this, you kind of like want to like make sense of it. Just because, listen, I want to make this clear. I want to make this clear, and I probably should have said this more over the last 3 years. Just because it's minor leagues, just because it's developmental, doesn't mean it should suck. You know, like, being developmental is not an excuse for dumb storylines, all right? If you want to get a little hokey, a little tacky, if you want to try something, fine. I'm not against that. You throw shit on the wall, you see what sticks. Wendy Chu is a perfect example of that. Wendy Chu, during the COVID era, is blowing vape in people's faces. I don't care who the fuck you are. I don't. If I'm in NXT and you're blowing your fucking breath and your spittle in my face, I punch you out during COVID. You ain't fucking giving me COVID. God forbid I go home, give it to my parents, and they fucking die. I'm talking a couple of years ago. I punch your ass in the mouth. So what happens now? Now she sleeps. And it works. It works. She's doing great. You know, sometimes you throw shit on the wall and you hope that it sticks. But still, this, I'm watching this yesterday and I'm like, man, this is awful. Now, the end result, this is where it gets worse, is there's been a lot of comparisons to Shawn Michaels. You know, a lot of what you're seeing is a lot of Shawn Michaels' career being played out again by other wrestlers. You think of Gigi Dolan and JC Jane, you know, almost like the barbershop segment. You think of Roxanne Perez collapsing after, and now, you know, the situation with the title. This irks of mid-90s Shawn Michaels. Nothing wrong with that. If it's an homage, you know, if it worked back then to a certain extent, you want to do it again, fine. No reason why you can't, but the thing is this, in storyline, we're talking storyline now. Shawn Michaels yesterday announces that because Roxanne Perez is not medically cleared, that there is going to be a ladder match at Stand and Deliver to determine a new NXT Women's Champion. In storyline, she won her match 7 days ago. She was quote unquote released from the hospital 4 days later. 3 days after that, which is 7 days after a title defense, oh, we don't know what's wrong. She was severely dehydrated. We have to run more tests. So after 7 days, technically she's not NXT Women's Champion anymore. Is she going to the main roster? Why play this storyline that she has to forfeit the title? By the way, I mean, what fucking kind of condition is she in that they couldn't even have her in the building yesterday and give the championship back? Did they just didn't want the optics with Roxanne Perez? And I'm not making fun of her. Like, I mean, okay, you know, we don't know what's wrong. We're running tests. What, did she become an invalid? Is she a vegetable now? Like, she's not even on NXT TV. I mean, when Cross lost his title and other people lost their title because of injury, they hand the belt back, and that's it. Just nowhere to be found. So yesterday, they start doing qualifying matches to determine who's going to be in the ladder match. And as of right now, Zoe Stark and Gigi Dolin have qualified to be in a ladder match to determine the new NXT Women's Champion at Stand and Deliver. There's going to be two more participants. I know the graphics yesterday were a little confusing because this graphic, it looks like there was going to be three people. Then another graphic came out that looked like it was going to be four people. But the thing is, could Roxanne Perez still be in this match? Does she show up at Stand and Deliver that she could still compete? And that is a very good possibility. Now, think of a ladder match for a minute. Think of a ladder match. If she's in the ladder match, and you give the championship to that referee earlier in the day, and that title is put all the way up in the air, suspended in the air, yes, on paper, she is still champion. But now the only way she gets to keep her title is if she climbs the ladder and pulls it down. So are we looking at she performs anyway, climbs the ladder, gets back what is hers that should not have been. It's only been 7 days, everyone. I know what you're going to say. Well, Stand and Deliver is less than 3 weeks away. So they had to make a decision. Well, why not do this? Roxanne Perez, right now, her condition is, you know, unclear. We don't know if she could perform at Stand and Deliver. That's not my Shawn Michaels impersonation. We don't know if she could perform at Stand and Deliver. So we're going to do a ladder match at Stand and Deliver, and that championship will be on that ladder. And if Roxanne Perez cannot compete, then someone else will be crowned the new champion. So you name your participants, and you put the question mark, will Roxanne Perez be able to compete? This idea that she had to be removed of the championship just to possibly get it back at Stand and Deliver to me is stupid. It's stupid. They could have said she is still NXT Women's Champion, but if she is not cleared by Stand and Deliver, then we will crown a new champion that night. This way, for the next two more NXTs, 2.5 weeks, we wonder, is she going to be able to appear? Is she going to be able to appear? We still have the participants. Now, is she going to the main roster? You could have still let her keep this championship, do the ladder match, have someone else climb the ladder, get the title, and become the new women's champion, and then Roxanne Perez shows up in the main roster. Not everybody has to get a rematch. Not everybody has to be granted the rematch clause. Because I know what you're saying. If Gigi Dolin climbs the ladder, if JC Jane qualifies, if Cora Jade qualifies and climbs the ladder, you know, it doesn't mean that by default Roxanne Perez should at least get a title shot, get an opportunity to win that championship back. So if she's going to the main roster and she does not perform at Stand and Deliver, to me that is one of the most awful, just a mess. What a messy way to leave NXT. It's not even, I don't, you know, even if it echoes Shawn Michaels from back in the day, this is just a hot mess. And it's nothing against Zoe Stark who qualified. It's nothing against Gigi Dolin who qualified. You know I'm a fan of both. But why not tease? If Roxanne Perez is not cleared, then she will no longer be champion that day. You could even do a segment where she shows up at the building and the doctors refuse to clear her. And then she reluctantly gives up the championship. Why, after 7 days in storyline, make the decision to remove the title off of her? It's just, even though it's developmental, the storyline is a hot mess. I didn't like it yesterday. No matter who ends up competing in this ladder match, I didn't like it at all. And I don't think this is a case where something else is going on and they had to figure out a way to take it off her. And like I said before, I kept thinking about this, the Iron Survivor challenge match. Iron Survivor, Survivor, Iron Man. Last week, everything, I'm going to push my body. And now she's so fragile. She's so fragile. Like she's made out of ceramic. It's like you buy a ceramic wrestling figure and you just accidentally tip it over and it just shatters in 1,000 pieces. How the fuck did you do that? I didn't like it at all. Didn't like it at all. So we will see what happens. Next week, we will get the other participants in this ladder match. Will Roxanne Perez appear next week? I have no idea. But that is what's going on right now. Now, the lineup for Stand and Deliver, as we said, this is going to be the ladder match to determine the new NXT Women's Champion. We're also going to have Grayson Waller versus Johnny Gargano. Yesterday on NXT, it was great. Grayson Waller showed up at Gargano's house. Candice LeRae and their baby come outside. What's going on? We didn't order pizza. Yeah, and they're brawling. And that was great. And Gargano does live very close to the building where the performance center is. So they and he goes home and he starts brawling. So that is obviously one of the matches. We have Wes Lee. Now, originally, we all expected it was going to be Lee versus Lee. But now they have decided to do this. And if you didn't see NXT yesterday, there is a little bit of a catch here. No, he's not facing four white gray men. We don't know who his opponents are yet, but there's going to be a five-way match at NXT Stand and Deliver, and Wes Lee gets to choose his opponents. So I think he'll probably choose Dijak, even though, you know, Dijak is technically a heel, if you think about it. Wes Lee and him put on a banger. I think he deserves to be in that. Dragon Lee is obviously going to be chosen come Tuesday. I don't think that's going to happen, but we got to see who Wes Lee chooses. Man, what a time they could bring back Nash Carter, but I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. But, yeah, so next week we should learn who Wes Lee's opponents will be at Stand and Deliver. Also, we have the Women's Tag Team Championship at Stand and Deliver. And listen, the Fallon Henley, Kiana James storyline, I'm liking it. But Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, they just, it's funny because they were feuding early on. And as they're feuding, people are just saying like, wow, it's almost like Carmella and Chelsea Green. You know, it's funny. As I'm showing you the banners, I'm looking at the camera and I'm going like this. I'm like, wait, they can't see me. It's almost like Chelsea Green and Carmella. Like, they did a little backstage segment, a little pairing, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is like a perfect tag team. Isla Dawn and Alba Fire is obviously a perfect tag team. And I think they, you know, we're not doing predictions yet, but I think they will ultimately become your next champions. And then we obviously got Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes. People are starting to catch on now that there's not hate for Bron Breakker. They just feel it's time for a change. Carmelo Hayes is going to be your immediate future in NXT. You know, we addressed it yesterday on the show, Kevin and I, you know, that, you know, all those erroneous reports that Carmelo Hayes is going to be on the roster right after WrestleMania, this and that. No, no, not even close. Carmelo Hayes is going to have a nice run as the leader of NXT, and Bron Breakker will go out to a standing ovation. And, hey, listen, even though they're not betting yet in some of those states, you know, WWE could always swerve us and have Breakker retain at Stand and Deliver. But this match is going to be fucking fire. And we learned that we're going to have hosts for Stand and Deliver. And I think we all called this several weeks ago. I think we all said it, that Pretty Deadly was probably going to be the host of Stand and Deliver. And, you know, makes an obvious sense. So now we just got to find out who Gallus is facing. I think it's got to be the Schism. And, you know, now I'm not sure if the Schism would become champions. If the New Day would have still kept those titles, then I would have thought, okay, Schism will dethrone New Day at Stand and Deliver. look what ends up happening. Kofi gets injured out of WrestleMania. Xavier Woods, you know, maybe he'll be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. But, you know, it's interesting how things change. And I know what some people said to me last week. Wow, if Kofi was still tag team champions in NXT, then maybe he wouldn't have been injured. This and that. Yeah, well, maybe he would have gotten injured sooner if he was still in NXT. You can't predict injury or non-injury. Shit happens sometimes. Freak incidents happen. But they will be your hosts for Stand and Deliver. Match results from yesterday's NXT. Let me just pull them up. I just had them over here. Here we go. Do I even have it? Did I save it? Maybe I didn't. Well, I guess I... Well, you know what? I actually can pull it up. I will tell you this. Yesterday's NXT rating, I think this was expected, went down. Last week, their rating was 624,000, but it was for Roadblock, which is kind of like, you know, like not a pay-per-view quality event, but, you know, good enough that it gets a little bit more attention. They did 624 last week. Yesterday's NXT did 590,000. Not a big drop, but again, anytime I see that number under 600,000, I'm a little underwhelmed with it. I think that number should be a little bit bigger. Yesterday's NXT results, we had Gallus over Pretty Deadly. Oh, I do have it here. Gallus over Pretty Deadly to retain the NXT Tag Team Championship. Zoe Stark over Sol Ruka to qualify. Sol Ruka celebrating 1 year anniversary of being in NXT. She's had about 30 matches, you know, very impressive. You know, I think, will Sol Ruka a year from now be in the same position that Tiffany Stratton is right now? I think Tiffany Stratton may end up being in that ladder match as well. Some people think Tiffany Stratton is your next NXT Women's Champion. It's possible. Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn over Ivy Nile and Tayton Paxley, as well as Kayden Carter and Kiana James, who I think they're on their way out to the main roster, I should say, to qualify to become the new number one contenders for the Women's Tag Team titles. Dava Kato over Apollo Crews. I'm a little concerned about Dava Kato's future, to be honest with you. Something is missing. Something is missing. And, yeah, they're going to try to rebuild him in NXT. So far, it's not clicking, just being honest. And Gigi Dolan over Kiana James to qualify for the ladder match at NXT Stand and Deliver. So those were your matches from yesterday. All right, let's briefly get into AEW. And, you know, they were in Winnipeg. Obviously, the home turf for Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Don Callis. That's why I showed you that picture at the beginning. A little news tidbit that you might get a kick out of. They announced earlier in Winnipeg that they're naming a street after Chris Jericho, and it's the street that he grew up, like his childhood block. So the street was called Wordsworth Way, and it'll now be called Chris Jericho Way. And they did a little ceremony this morning. That's his childhood street, and I thought that was pretty cool. You know, seeing Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, let me tell you something. You know, some of you that follow my history show remember it. I guarantee you some of you remember it. You know, people think that Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho do not have a long storied history. Yeah, they're in AEW together. Yeah, they faced off 3 years ago. Yeah, they're both from Winnipeg. And this was a cool moment tonight. You could see legitimately that they were loving that they were back in Winnipeg in the ring. And that main event tonight was a lot of fun. You know, the diversion of the Dark Order and a Blackpool Combat Club still brawling, you know, during this, just to lead to Hangman Page reuniting with the Elite, you know, to tease that in the future. You know, I wouldn't have done that tonight. I mean, it's because they want to put 2 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag. I mean, we've talked about that before. But some of you out there will remember this. And if you don't know this story, you should go out of your way, because I covered it on the history show several years ago. You know, it was not that long ago. And I don't remember exactly all the incidentals, but Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Don Callis were going to be involved in another wrestling promotion, an indie wrestling company. It wasn't going to be anything like what you got with AEW. But this was, I don't know, I honestly, I'd be lying to you if I even remember how many years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. I don't remember exactly when. But whoever it was like a money mark. And I think like they showed up and it was in a warehouse and it was just, and they actually put some money into this. I don't know if there was like a, not a GoFundMe, but there was something where they were trying to get investors and they were involved in this and it never took off. They actually filmed, I think, some matches too. But if you want to go look up that story or just on my website, just search their names and you'll find the episode. But, you know, they got a pretty fun backstory. And you should seek out the old Talk is Jericho podcast interviews that he did with Kenny Omega and Don Callis prior to AEW. It's actually a fun listen, a real fun listen. So Dynamite tonight opens up with the re-bar mitzvah for MJF. And this felt more like a WWE type segment, especially when they were synchronized. I want a title shot. You know, it kind of felt WWE-ish, but I still enjoyed it very, very much. Because one thing you realize, even with Roxanne Perez, one of the problems with Roxanne Perez right now, she's not feuding with anybody. You know, if you really think about it, she's got no feud. You know, she had some matches. After Cora Jade, there really wasn't much else. With MJF, the big question everybody was saying was, okay, who next? All right, Bryan Danielson is over and done with. Who's next? And there's nobody. Like, I honestly thought, I tweeted this a week ago and then I deleted it. Because I was like, you know what? The problem with AEW, that a lot of you will agree with me, is that we can't predict some of the things that happen in AEW because we're thinking, as longtime wrestling fans, what common sense would be. What would be the logical next opponent? You have to think as Tony Khan. And what Tony Khan wants is not necessarily what logic wants. Should present. Case in point, Wardlow. I thought about it early this week and I said, you know, Wardlow was at his peak in AEW when he was feuding with MJF, when he first turned against MJF. Unfortunately, MJF walked out, you know, quote unquote, renegotiated a new deal, showed up, jobbed out to Wardlow, left again. And that was it. And since then, Wardlow doesn't feel like he has ever recovered. Okay, now MJF is heavyweight champion. Maybe logic tells you, okay, maybe it's good now to revisit Wardlow going after MJF. We've seen skits in the past where MJF and QT Marshall kind of work out some deals. Oh, paying this person off, giving you a bunch of money, this, this, and that. So, yes, of course, Wardlow would be pissed off because of what happened with Hobbs. Now they, you know, had to complicate things by trying to show today that Aaron Solo actually broke the window of Wardlow's car and they stole this stuff. Oh, good. Now we're going to see Wardlow versus Aaron fucking Solo in the future. Oh, good. Now we're going to see Ruby Soho and Saray and Tony Storm versus Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue and Riho. You don't see that coming a mile away. Like, I don't want shit to happen just to set up a match. That's Acme Instafuse we've talked about for fucking 25 plus years. But I'm saying to myself, oh, God, now Wardlow is going to have to go through all these motherfuckers to get to... I guarantee you, they will do the storyline that if Wardlow wants a piece of Hobbs and a rematch, he has to go through the entire factory, whatever the fuck it's called. You know, just expressing my opinion, you know. I know sometimes people's opinions get them in trouble on social media. You know, we talked about that last week with Raj Giri and QT Marshall. We discussed that. But, you know, the thing is, I'm saying, I said, okay, then maybe Wardlow, you know, you take a shot at Hobbs. Look, you took my TNT championship. Good for you. Good for you. You know what? I know what I'm going to. And he fucking crashes the bar mitzvah and goes straight to MJF. Fuck the TNT championship. I'm going straight to the Triple B. And I'm saying to myself, that would rekindle Wardlow and MJF. That's when Wardlow was at his best, at his peak. But no. No, we don't get that. And I'm not complaining about the four pillars. Very smart. Very smart to have Sammy Guevara versus Jungle Boy versus Darby Allin versus MJF for that championship. Because there's nobody right now feuding with MJF. Think about it. There's nobody. Not one. Bryan Danielson, up until a couple of weeks ago, you remember what we said about, you know, the match that they had, the Iron Man match? We loved it. But it felt like we went to a movie and we showed up 90 minutes into the film. Where are the matches to lead up to this Iron Man match? Like, you immediately went to the finale of the movie. That's how I always felt about this. And that was my biggest complaint. Then when the Iron Man match was over, you felt like, okay, feud over. And then Bryan Danielson, oh, I'm in pain. I got to go home. I don't know when I'm going to come back. And then you realize, oh, it hit me. They just don't want to have that awkward confrontation right now with the Blackpool Combat Club. Bryan Danielson is going to come back, and he's going to be like, this isn't a Blackpool Combat Club that I remember. You know, so that's why they did it, to take him off TV so the Blackpool Combat Club could turn heel, feud with the House of Black, feud with the Elite, feud possibly with the Jericho Appreciation Society, and just eat up weeks that way. And then you're left with, okay, who's going to feud with MJF next? So, especially with contracts all not coming up at the same time, I personally think MJF is going to stay with AEW. I really do. I think Tony Khan is not stupid. Now, it's very interesting because Jungle Boy said something tonight that I honestly never thought about before. And very interesting. I did some research, and I think he was 100% correct with it. MJF has never appeared on AEW Dark. He's never appeared on AEW Elevation. He's never appeared on AEW Rampage. He's only appeared on Dynamite and pay-per-views. And that is very interesting. You look back in hindsight that, you know, what kind of a contract did this guy sign? And I'm not comparing MJF to Bray Wyatt, but if you check out my other shows, I've been saying this repeatedly. You know, you look at the futility of Bray Wyatt in the ring since he's returned, other than matches with LA Knight, people get mad. You know, like, this is what we fucking got with Bray Wyatt. Understand that when he re-signed with WWE, I don't buy that it was just Vince McMahon's creative cloud about Bray Wyatt is what, you know, made him not come back. And now with Vince stepping back and creative, now, you know, oh, I want to come back. No, I think Bray Wyatt worked out a deal with WWE that his contract was going to be more psychological than physical. And I know people, when they hear that, they're like, DT, what are you talking about? I think part of the deal was, we're going to focus more on the creative, the emotional, the psychological part of Bray Wyatt. More vignettes, more skits, QR codes, surprises, you know, teases, and not as much in the ring. And then you realize for 3+ years when MJF got his deal with AEW, Tony Khan, like, no Rampage, no Dark, no Elevation. And MJF does not wrestle that much at all. When he wrestles, though, he puts on tremendous performance. I also feel MJF is very, very young. MJF should not have the part-time contract almost like Undertaker from 15 years ago. Maybe that's a little bit of a stretch. My point is, he's not like some old school veteran that's on the tail end or the second half of their career, and that they sign in a deal that is more for pay-per-views, not house shows, not this, but more for this. Like, MJF has not even hit the prime of his career. I don't want to compare from old school. Just imagine when Roddy Piper signed with WWF in, what, 84? And imagine that he signs a deal that, oh, you know, now they didn't have as many pay-per-views. Although WWF and AEW have more close to the pay-per-view numbers. AEW doesn't do one every month, obviously. But imagine if he worked out a deal that, you know, you're not going to do any of these small buildings. You're just going to do Philadelphia Spectrum and Madison Square Garden. And, you know, we're just going to let you wrestle like once every 2 months or something like that. I mean, people would have been livid. Even Hogan, as much as people hate Hogan, and I totally understand why, you know, back in the day, that motherfucker competed a hell of a lot more than you think. Why is his contract so limited to wrestle so little? You know, he's not even in his prime. But again, don't blame MJF. Don't blame Bray Wyatt. Don't blame Brock Lesnar from several years ago when he was the champion and showed up every 2 months. Blame the promotion that signs this kind of deal. Oh, you know, you have to show up, but you don't have to wrestle. You don't have to. That's why when he should not be like special event. MJF's going to wrestle tonight. I don't agree with that. But those people are smart. Listen, we're wrestling fans. We're selfish. We want to see our favorites on TV every week. That is what AEW gives for a lot of people out there. Brian Last made a comment last week that very, very smart, and I think it really sums everything up, that a lot of fans in AEW, and I'm not knocking the fans, but I'm just making a point, there's a lot of fans in AEW that as long as they get to see their favorites, that's good enough for them. If they get a little bit of a storyline attached to it, that's whipped cream on the ice cream. And if the storyline is long-term booking and it's more than a couple of weeks and not put together because the pay-per-view is coming up, that's a cherry on top with sprinkles as well. And that's why I said this yesterday on, I think I said it with Kev yesterday. Or, yeah, I think it was yesterday. I made a remark that they announced like house rules, AEW. And they're like, oh, breaking, Britt Baker is going to take on Anna Jay. I'm like, I don't care if they were going to wrestle in my yard. Like, oh my God, they're coming next week down the block. Why would I want to see that? If I was a big fan of Britt Baker or Anna Jay, yeah, I just want to see my favorite. That's how it was on the indies. If I got to see my friends wrestle, I don't care who they're facing. I don't care what they're doing. As long as they're performing, that's all I care about. So that's part of the problem right now, but they're very smart to do the four pillars because, believe it or not, almost one quarter of the year is already up. That may not sound like a lot, but just like this, Forbidden Door is going to come and go, and Forbidden Door is taking place, what's the date again? June 25th. When Forbidden Door is over, we're halfway through the year already, and some contracts are going to be coming up. You know, you think about Kenny Omega, even though I have a feeling he's going to stay in AEW. Think of the Elite, the Young Bucks. You think of MJF, and they're not the only ones. I don't have the list in front of me, but there's some deals coming up. Some of those people may not re-sign because WWE, if they think they can make money, you know, obviously they're not going to grossly overpay, but Tony Khan will grossly overpay. If you don't think that he wouldn't offer one of these guys, seven-figure deal, just to keep them. I just hope Tony Khan doesn't make the mistake that WCW did. This is something that I said a couple of years ago, and I'll say it again now. My biggest fear of Tony Khan is that he starts paying people just so they don't sign with WWE. The Redeemer. He redeems another week. But now you got to start thinking about Andrade. And now you got to start thinking about others. Pac, what the fuck is going on with him? I mean, what happened to him? I mean, if you start, we start seeing people, you know, just being signed or having contracts renewed just so they don't go to WWE, that is going to be, you know, a recipe for disaster in AEW. Would it cause them to go out of business? No, I'm not saying that. But that's my biggest fear of them all. My biggest fear of them all is that because Tony Khan's a billionaire, I brought it up. You used the eBay analogy a couple of weeks ago. Let's say you got a nice refund for taxes this year. You got a nice refund from H&R Block or TurboTax. You got an extra 10 G's. You're like, you know, I always wanted this retro gaming thing. This retro gaming thing. But it's been out of commission. It's non-existent. They haven't made one in 10 years or 5 years. You go on eBay, and the thing is worth $500, but it's the only one on eBay. Instead of $500, somebody puts it up for $3,000. You got that extra fucking cash. You want it that bad. Yeah, you will drop the $3,000. Believe me, I just insured a Corvette for a customer. And this Corvette is an old school. It's a 75 Corvette. And I did classic car insurance, and I went to his house yesterday. And, you know, he had it in the garage. The weather was not that great. But I went to his house yesterday. I took pictures of it. And then I said, you know, give me the bill of sale because, you know, I want to show proof of ownership. And I'm not going to say how much the car is worth. But when he showed me the bill of sale, this guy paid $15,000 more than what the car is worth. And when I gave him the quote, I told him how much it is. And he says, how much is my car insured for? And I told him. And he said to me, he goes, wait a minute. I paid $15,000 more. I want to insure it for that amount, the value plus the... I said, no. The insurance company is only going to give you what it's worth. But he wanted the car so bad that he overpaid for it. Where I live right now, I bought this place in late 1999. True story, really quick. But this has to do with contracts with Tony Khan. I was looking for a co-op or a condo in my neighborhood. And I went to a lot of listings, and one was on the second floor, the third floor. I'm not a lazy person, but I immediately thought, like, okay, I got to walk three flights of stairs every time I get groceries, cases of soda, 12 packs. I don't want to do that. I want first floor. You know, then some didn't come with parking. You know, I was like, I'm not parking my car in the street because, you know, this neighborhood isn't the greatest. Here's my point. When I found this place, it was up for sale for a certain amount of money. We agreed to it. So about 2-3 weeks before the closing, we get a phone call from the real estate, and the real estate says, listen, you know, someone else made an offer as well, and it's about $5,000 more than yours. And I was like, wait, I thought we agreed on it. Like, unfortunately, we didn't sign any papers yet, so the seller could, you know, take the offer from someone else. So I went back and I said, look, tell them we'll give them $7,000 more. Just went back and forth like 2 or 3 times. And I ended up giving, I think it was about maybe $9,000 more than what the original agreement was. But I liked this place so much. I liked the location. It came with a parking space, first floor. I ended up paying $9,000 more than I should have. And, you know, looking back on it, it was definitely worth it. So when it comes to some of these contracts for AEW, Tony Khan, like the eBay auction, if he wants to keep the Darby, I don't know if WWE would sign Darby. When Darby cut that promo today and he was talking about how, you know, like he went to AEW and he's like, look, I'm not the best businessman, but he realized that there wasn't going to be a bidding war for Darby Allin. I still don't know if WWE would bring in Darby Allin. I know a lot of us think he's kind of like a Jeff Hardy as far as, you know, the high, you know, high risk taking. But Sammy Guevara is probably much more appealing than Darby Allin. And Darby Allin, he's even more of an attraction. Plus, you look back at his contract, he's definitely wrestled more than MJF. But even with him, it spurts. Like, you realize, like, wait a minute. You know, how many matches has he had in the last 3 months? So you look at some of these deals, and Tony Khan is going to grossly overpay for some people. The thing is that for AEW fans, four pillars, MJF, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, that's in their eyes. You got to, at some point, do that match. We're already almost one-third in the year, and we don't know if all four guys will be in AEW next year. So at some point, you got to pull the trigger. You're not going to do it at Forbidden Door. You could do it at Forbidden Door, but Double or Nothing is the much more realistic, you know, place to do it. And that's what happened tonight. They all showed up. They all cut promos, throwing insults against each other. You know, Sammy Guevara wants to circumcise MJF. Jungle Boy, you know, talking about, you know, wrestling on the first pandemic pay-per-view, losing to MJF and MJF cheating. Darby Allin, you know, talking about, you know, where he had to go to wrestling school or he fell in love with wrestling because he wanted to make movies and the school that he was at told him, yeah, this would never work. Even Sammy Guevara talking about how he used to work at Whataburger and Subway and doing a lot of things. Meanwhile, MJF kissed ass. They threw some personal insults about their relationship, Sammy getting engaged 7 months after meeting someone. It sounded great on TV, but obviously Sammy and Ty had a very long friendship before that, so that wasn't really accurate. MJF not being engaged anymore, we don't even know if that's true. I'm assuming that it is true. But the end result, it's the bar mitzvah, there's a cake, and MJF ends up getting knocked off the ring, eats the cake, you know, forcefully, technically, because he landed on it, and his bar mitzvah was ruined. You know, I don't mind like a bar mitzvah celebration. Like, I don't give a shit about religion. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need it on shows. But when it's skits like this today, yeah, it worked well. And that worked great because it's now going to set up the four-way. And this now takes care of MJF until Double or Nothing. They don't have to worry about who's the next feud. Now this takes care of everything for the foreseeable future. So that's a done deal. But those three guys, you know, they caused MJF a little bit of mashugana tonight. And for those that were tweeting earlier, like, what is that? How do you even say it? How do you spell it? Mashugana is a phrase. Mashugana. I'll spell it in case anybody wants to Google it. Mashugana. Mashugana. They mashugana. He caused them a mashugana in his bitch. So, hey, I don't mind it. Hey, Paul Heyman used once in a while makes the Jewish references. Remember that time that I made the Jewish reference on my show, and in the following week on Raw, Paul Heyman made the same phrase word for word? Coincidence. Definitely coincidence. So, all right. Just going through my notes over here. John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta. They beat Hangman Page, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. We found out later on that Evil Uno was rushed to the hospital. John Moxley hits Grayson with the bulldog choke. After the match is over, they continue to beat down until John Silver and Alex Reynolds make the save. My problem with all of this, why the fuck are we still getting Moxley and Hangman Page? I mean, I wasn't even interested in seeing their last match on the pay-per-view, but it happened, and I was like, good. You know, even Edge and Finn Balor at Hell in a Cell, like, does anybody in their right mind, like, want Edge versus a member of Judgment Day, like, the following Raw afterwards? That's pretty much what this is. Like, please, be done. I mean, Hell in a Cell is going to be awesome, but move on. And for some reason, Moxley and Hangman Page are still fucking face to face. I just, that's my only problem with it. But as you realize at the end of the show, this was all designed to have the elite have their back for Hangman Page, to allow Hangman Page back in the elite. And this will probably lead to the elite versus the Bullet Club at Forbidden Door. Now it makes sense why they showed Bullet Club for Juice Robinson last week. We talked about it. Oh, now we got to look forward to 6 weeks or 7 weeks of New Japan. Oh, look who that. Oh, that's blah, 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 blah from New Japan. Oh, that's so-and-so. I'm sorry if I piss people off. 80% of those people in New Japan, I don't give a shit about. And the fact that now all those storylines are going to intertwine for New Japan, and then once the pay-per-view's over, they go away after a week or two because some got some deals to stay an extra week and work Dynamite and Rampage. I am so not looking forward to seeing New Japan invade AEW again. Hey, let's have the reverse. Hey, you know, blah, 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 showed up in Japan and tried to fuck with New Japan. Have AEW show up in New Japan. Go on their fucking TV. And we could see highlights. I'm so not looking forward to this. And you know that some of that will probably get recorded for Ring of Honor, which it should. Honestly, I'd rather see Ring of Honor versus New Japan Forbidden Door. You mean to tell me that that wouldn't be a nice, attractive little thing? You know, to maybe get some people for Honor Club, do some tapings as well? I'd rather see Ring of Honor versus New Japan Forbidden Door than to see AEW. As we said earlier, Jade Cargill over Nicole Matthews. Jade wants more from Canada. She gets it. Taya Valkyrie shows up, and they have a face-to-face. Layla Gray tries to get involved. She gets laid out. Jade Cargill backtracks. Taya Valkyrie is now a member of AEW. So that's a good signing. That is a very good signing. Ricky Starks, got to be careful, Ricky. Talking about how Bullet Club was relevant in 2015, we got Forbidden Door coming up. Oh, we get they. I don't think they want us to think that Bullet Club is not relevant anymore. That's why they had to reassociate Juice Robinson with Bullet Club. Think about that. We talked about QT Marshall and QTV earlier. Orange Cassidy over Jeff Jarrett to retain the I almost said All Atlantic Championship, the International Championship. I tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoyed this match. To me, if you have never, and I think a lot of people, even if you're not an Orange Cassidy fan, or if you think Jeff Jarrett should not be getting the TV that he does, put all that aside. What I'm about to say, I think 99% of you will agree with. If you have ever gone to an indie wrestling event, you know what I'm about to say. If some of you out there never went to an indie wrestling event, what a lot of places will do is they will bring in some old school stars, some Hall of Famers. They will bring someone 15 years ago. We would get the Warlord. We would get Jimmy Snuka. We would get Greg the Hammer Valentine. We would get Axe from Demolition. We would get, you know, the Patriot. We would get, that was the attraction. Like the indie wrestling event would have a lot of their locals. But then like, oh, main event, Jimmy Snuka versus Greg Valentine. And even 15 years ago, which is 2008, you know, you're saying to yourself, wow, you know, but they could still go enough that you would come down to see it. Orange Cassidy versus Jeff Jarrett tonight gave me nothing but vibes of what an indie wrestling event is like, an indie wrestling main event is like. In my neighborhood, Long Island, Brooklyn, Queens, if they put on the banner, main event, blah, 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 championship wrestling, Orange Cassidy versus Jeff Jarrett, that would be a kind of a main event that you would get on an indie card. And how they delivered tonight is exactly how we would get it on an indie card. Maybe you wouldn't have the Satnam Singh interference and some of the other stuff, but that was 100% indie tonight. And I am not knocking any of it. Just because it feels indie, indie is not a dirty word. Twat is a dirty word, because a lot of you don't notice, but Saraya got fined tonight. She already commented about it. She actually used the term twat on TV tonight. Saraya has a history of calling people twats. And I don't know if I've ever used the term on these shows before. I mean, we've used some other words, but apparently you're not allowed to say twat on TV. She got fined. AEW, look, it's probably put $100 in the jar. They probably have a little jar in the back, put $100, put $50 in it. It probably goes to a charity or it goes to something well. Trust me, she didn't go back in the back and Tony Khan, everybody else like, the fuck you doing? You know, I'd say twat. They probably just went to like, you know, what's with the twat reference? You're going to be fined $100 for that. Honestly, you know, if the network didn't complain about it, I'd go out next week and use it again. But indie wrestling is not a dirty word. And Jeff Jarrett versus Orange Cassidy tonight, quintessential what a main event on an indie wrestling card would look and feel like. And that's what it was tonight. And I had no problems with it. We had the Outcast. That is the new name for Ruby Soho, Toni Storm, Saraya. They come out and they're talking about how they revitalized the women. When do they call out Jade Cargill? When does Jade Cargill call them out? Is Jade Cargill going to be the stone cold of the AEW women's division? This isn't the invasion storyline. This is not the Alliance versus WWF, and we don't know where Steve Austin lies, but would not surprise me down the line that somebody contacts Jade Cargill. You need to be the leader of this women's division. You need to step up against these. That is the only problem with the storyline right now. And I don't need the Jade Cargill. I don't give a fuck about the Outcast or this and that. I only care about my TBS title, my streak, and my daughter. You know, like that. We don't need that, because now you're having them beat down Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, and here comes Anna Jay, Willow Nightingale, and Riho to make the save. And then you see Jamie Hayter to Riho. Thank you. Britt Baker, you know, her attitude, Britt Baker is obviously a top star, but her acting is not all that great. Just because she's decent in the ring doesn't mean her acting skills are up to par. She's got a poker face reaction. Like, people come out, make the save, and she's almost got this look like, I don't give a fuck. You know, it's like she leaves the ring. But Jamie Hayter, like to Riho, like, oh, God, mutual respect. Here comes the match. You know what? You watched my back last week. I will give you an opportunity at this title. And then we'll get Riho. That's not my Jamie Hayter impersonation. I'm a big fan of Jamie Hayter. But so they all come out, make the save. Here comes the match, everyone. Willow, Anna, and Riho versus the Outcasts. Bet on it. Jericho Appreciation Society and the Elite lose to the House of Black. Main event. Thought I heard like dogs having sex. I'm not kidding. I swear to God, I honestly just heard someone go, oh, my wife is not here tonight. She's home. Mom got sick. A dog's not here either. I swear to God, I just heard something go, oh, either somebody just stepped on a dog's tail or something got rammed up a dog's, you know, coolie just now. Oh, my God. What the fuck was that? Oh, man. I'm looking over. I'm like, it ain't this guy. Yeah, remember? Look. Yeah. By the way, where is he all of a sudden? You know, they didn't have catering? I mean, it doesn't even work. Oh, there it goes. Maybe it was him. You're grunting.
You're stronger than you look.
I'm fatter than I look. Oh, man. So the main event was fun tonight. the two commercial breaks kind of like, I don't know, kind of like broke up the fun. Winnipeg loved it. Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega loved it. You know, acknowledging the fans at ringside, seeing Kenny Omega doing that was a fun thing. No issues with it whatsoever. You know, again, I was a little surprised that Jericho hasn't been in Winnipeg since 2009. You know, I don't care how big of a star you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care how many times you tour the world. You know, you go back to your old neighborhood, it gets to you. You know, I haven't lived in Middle Village since, God, 1997 or 98. And when my parents sold their house officially about 14 years ago, like I cried because I always wanted one last chance to walk into my yard, you know, to see the pond where we used to have fish, where I used to have a pool. Me and my friends used to go in the pool. You know, when my parents were in Florida and I would pick up some fucking 175-pound rat, I'm 28 years old or 25 years old and she's 42, but, you know, she's a MILF and she's from Ozone Park and she just wants to have fun and I'm in my yard on my hammock looking at the stars trying to get laid. You know, walking into my garage, you know, where my dad gave me my first car, a Trans Am, you know, that I ended up totaling a couple of months afterwards. You know, just walking through my house, remembering my memories, you know, just, you know, I didn't get that opportunity. I was just here. And then one day, you know, they say, oh, we're having a closing tomorrow. I'm like, what? What? And like, yeah, the closing's tomorrow, you know, and I'm like, but I wanted to go. So when I go through my neighborhood still, because I still have friends in the neighborhood, but I drive up my block, I go back to Juniper, I go to areas, and it gets to me. It brings back a lot of memories. So, you know, for Jericho, especially tonight, it definitely was a very emotional moment for him. And that's cool to see that they named his street after him. You know, I would fucking love it if they named it after me. And, you know, it's an honorary street name. You know, if people don't remember, we covered on a history show. You know, back in the early 2000s, they named a street in Atlantic City after Steve Austin. They named a street after Ric Flair. It wasn't permanent. I think it stood up for about 6 months. But they did a whole ceremony and everything like that. We covered it. We showed some screenshots. But this is a little bit more, you know, realistic. I mean, even Bret Hart, you know, the other day, didn't Calgary Flames like retire or I think it was Calgary Flames. Didn't they retire like a jersey for Bret Hart? So it's pretty cool. I don't know if Jericho's house got torn down. It's just a neighborhood. Like, you go back to where you grew up. I mean, there's a lot of memories. Plus, it makes you think back to your childhood. And that always kind of, it's like when you watch home movies, you know. So the main event was fun. I mean, towards the end, I don't know if that was just a mix-up with Buddy Matthews and Brody King. But Brody King hit like his, whatever you call it, almost like a pile driver on Danny Garcia. And Brody King turns over to pin Danny Garcia. And here comes Buddy Matthews, who pins. And it almost looked like he ran to steal the pin. I know it wasn't designed that way, and I know it wasn't intended that way. But even after the match was over right afterwards, like, I thought Buddy Matthews was going to go in Brody's ear and say, look, you know, sorry about that. But he backed off. And I just watched the very end. You'll see what I'm talking about. I thought, oh, well, it was the Calgary Hitmen. Thank you, Sam. Calgary Hitmen. I knew it was something Calgary. But still, that was pretty cool to see that your home turf doesn't forget about you. And believe me, this wasn't just a PR piece for Jericho. It wasn't just a PR piece. That's a very, very cool moment to see. Very cool. So, but House of Black retains. And, you know, to me, instead of the House of Black going out on top, celebrating in the ring, we immediately shifted to the Blackpool Combat Club and the Dark Order still brawling. Hangman Page, for some reason, goes in the ring all by himself and you know what's coming next. The Blackpool Combat Club surround him almost like what the Shield used to do. And here comes the Elite behind Hangman Page. So now it's no longer 3-on-1, it's now 4-on-3. And Moxley and the others, they retreat, they get out of the ring, we go off the air. So now Hangman Page has a dilemma. Dark Order, Elite. That's what it is. But again, with Forbidden Door coming up, sooner than you realize, I think it's going to come down to Bullet Club versus Elite. And it makes you think also, you know, are Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks going to go back and get trios titles? You know, Kenny Omega's deal coming up in the latter part of this year, which will be sooner. Because remember, you know, a lot of people, I think, don't realize this. His deal is up in, what, November, approximately? And we've talked about the other part of the contract nobody wants to address. Nobody wants to do that legwork. But, and we're not going to do it. They don't want to do it. Fuck them. But here's the thing. You don't wait until November to negotiate a new deal. You don't wait until the contract is up and say, okay, now let's talk. They need to start negotiating now. They have to start negotiating now. And it's not just, hey, I'll renew your deal 3 more years, here's $5 million. You know, it's not as simple as that. There's a lot of other things that are involved as well. And now you start thinking to yourself, did they do this best of seven, you know, with the Lucha Bros and Pac? Remember, you know, it's Chicago Bulls, just to get that historic moment on AEW's books, and then it's like, okay, we don't need to be trios champions anymore. You know, you almost feel like, are they even interested in having championships? You know, so for the foreseeable future, they may not be fighting for trios championships. They may not even be fighting for tag team championships. Yes, they will have some matches because they want to attract people to watch the show. Even if there's no storyline, I guarantee you we're going to see another title match featuring those guys or a combination thereof. Shit, on Rampage, Powerhouse Hobbs, open challenge, and Rey Fénix answers it. Talk about random shit. Random shit. I mean, Rey Fénix answers it. You think that Rey Fénix is going to dethrone Hobbs for this champion? No, it's just to feed Hobbs a established name on AEW to make his record look strong. So it's just a stat builder, to be honest with you. So anyway, Rampage Friday, Hobbs versus Rey Fénix for the TNT Championship. Bollywood Boys, formerly the Singh Brothers, they will be taking on Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. And yes, Menard and Parker versus the Acclaimed, is the feud coming? Again, that's how you shift the Acclaimed away from the tag team titles. No more mention of tag team titles. They'll cut wraps on the Jericho Appreciation Society, Menard and Parker, and then they'll have a big pull apart. And the next thing you know, for the next 6 weeks, you're like, fuck, why aren't the Acclaimed fighting for the tag titles? Taya Valkyrie will make her in-ring debut Friday. And then next week, the only match announced for Dynamite is Hook versus Stokely Hathaway. I think it's like no DQ. So that will end in about 45 seconds to a minute. It'll be a gaga. Stokely will do everything he can to try to avoid the fight. Maybe try to cheap shot Hook one time. Realize he fucked up. Crowd may even chant, "You fucked up" as well. Hook will choke him out. And that'll be the end of it. So, all right. So just to wrap up tonight, want to give a super shout out to someone, and I also want to bring up something else. MLW, okay. You notice again, no ratings. We addressed that Monday. That suddenly, there's a lot of ratings that are not coming out, especially quarter hours for certain promotions, only for AEW, which is really strategic and interesting and blatant. MLW, for the third week in a row, nobody is publicly reporting their ratings. Thank you to the person, who we will keep anonymous, who definitely pointed out to me and showed me examples that Reels pulled a lot of their advertising that were airing on certain programs during the day, especially on Monday. You know, up until two weeks ago, Reels was pushing MLW Underground big time. Lots of ads during On Patrol Live, lots of ads on Mondays, lots of ads Tuesdays, late evenings, MLW Underground always promoted. 2 weeks ago, they pulled all of their advertising off of On Patrol Live. That was the show that triggered the deal with Reels, because the demo and their surveys and polling was that a large part of those viewers also liked pro wrestling. When the rating came in that they were under 100,000, and then after 3 weeks, it dropped to 50,000, and then the lawsuit, okay? MLW was in a lawsuit for a while. Reels was aware of it. But then when the lawsuit was thrown out, here is the changing point that not one website, not one journalist wants to tell you, because a lot of people get caught Bauer, MLW. Trust me, there's a lot of ball touching, all right? And that's legit. Here's the deal. Reels, and I brought this up a little bit before, Reels is an independent cable channel. They just inked a deal with Peacock. And what happened is a lot of programming that is on Reels will also be available on Peacock. Now, because WWE is on Peacock, they have exclusivity. And take note that their exclusivity on Peacock, when MLW filed the appeal just now, take note that in their appeal, because their whole argument is that WWE cornered the market, that everybody else is suffocated. Take note, when they filed the appeal, they never said, Reels just worked out a deal with Peacock and we can't even be on Peacock because WWE is there. They never even mentioned it, because there's nothing wrong with it. And Reels inked a deal with Peacock. This is 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. They inked a deal with Peacock to put their programming on Peacock. WWE's on Peacock. Reels does not want to piss off Peacock. Right now, when MLW airs on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock on Reels, when on the Peacock channel, that hour block and the hour afterwards, because they were doing like some additional program, but at least that hour for Underground, it's blacked out. So you go on Peacock to access Reels, and it's blacked out during that hour. So now with Reels working out a deal with Peacock, and they see the nonsense with MLW in court, and MLW is making these wild accusations that are unsubstantiated, the court dismissed the case because MLW, all they did was accuse. They didn't bring up any facts. And when they filed the appeal, they didn't bring up any facts still. They said, oh, AEW has never made a profit. This happened and this happened. And it's based on fucking tweets. Their lawyers are looking for comments from Brandon Thurston, Dave Meltzer, this journalist. And I'm not disrespecting them. They're basing it on hearsay. So Reels is like, look, MLW, they only have 4 weeks left. They only have 4 weeks left in their deal with Reels. I would be shocked to shit if Reels extends that deal, because in 4 weeks, Reels will no longer be blacked out on Peacock on Tuesday nights. I think Reels, once they inked that deal with Peacock and they saw all this bullshit with MLW in court and then the horrible ratings, get this dumpster fire away from us. In 4 weeks, I will predict, just opinions here, I predict not only do they not give him another deal, but Reels, they will never say it publicly, because Reels don't want to be sued from MLW. If Reels gives any inkling negative towards MLW, they got to worry about some asshole lawyer taking Reels to court. Reels did not give us the opportunity they said they were going to give us. Reels did this, or Reels pulled this, or Reels... Reels is like, fucking people, get these whack jobs away from me. So that's what I believe is going on. And at least I got some facts behind it. They pulled their ads. They pulled this. They're not doing this. The ratings went down. This happened. They inked the deal with. I got more facts than they have in their fucking lawsuit. So that's what's going on. You got 4 weeks left of MLW Underground, and then they're done with Reels. Where they go next, I have no idea. I don't want to see MLW hurt. You know, I don't take it personal. They're not suing me. I'm not taking it personal, but I call it like I see it. And especially when I see all these journalists like playing with the balls of MLW and not reporting all of this shit we talked about, you know, it's because they want to be on the good graces of some of these places. And I, you know, it's bullshit. So, okay. Speaking of deals, theme parks with Johnny with a 5 spot here. Thank you very much for that. Speaking of contracts, did I hear the talk a couple of days ago about Meltzer talking about main roster and NXT contracts? Yeah, but without specifics, I read all of it, I hear all of it, and I take it with. Do you see that? That's a grain of salt. That's a grain of salt. Look at all the Bray Wyatt bullshit for the last week. You remember Monday? What did we say Monday? For all we know, Bray Wyatt is still on for WrestleMania. What came out yesterday? Bray Wyatt is still scheduled for WrestleMania. Bray Wyatt got an illness. We don't know if it's COVID. We don't know what the fuck it is. Oh, no, he picked up his ball and he went home. I don't listen to any of it. People talk. I don't listen unless I see something that makes sense. I think right now people are grasping and, you know, we'll see what happens. But as far as right now, you know, as far as these rumors about NXT contracts and main roster and, you know, this happening, this happening, you know, it's coming out of nowhere. It's just to try to get attention. It's to try to get you to take notice of it as well. I don't blame some of these places of talking about it, but honestly, it's not the news that it appears to be. It's not. Hey, look at even the gambling stuff, and I'll say this really quick, and then I'm gonna finish. You heard about the rumors about WWE wanting to do legalized gambling in certain states, and we commented about it over the weekend. I think it's an absolutely awful idea, and you're just inviting fraud. We already talked about it. Plus, you know, it just fuck up how wrestling, you know, is done. It's just no. But here's the interesting thing. Somebody, I don't remember what state it was. I don't know if it was Michigan, but one of the states, if you Google it, you'll see it. One of the states representative from the Gambling Commission came out a couple of days ago and said, nobody's contacted us. We're not negotiating anything. So even though CNBC puts stuff out there, you know, sometimes, again, got to take it with a grain of salt. By the way, that's not salt. That's probably just dandruff from my hair. No, it's probably dust from this. I have no filtration in here. That's why I've been doing this going on 27 years now. And in all my years of doing it, I probably sneezed live on the show maybe 4 times. But for some reason, over the last couple of weeks, 2 of those 4 times happened. So I think there's always dust floating around here. I might have to put an air filter in this room. So, all right, everybody. We went a little bit longer than planned, but we had a nice, fun discussion. Just a little reminder for those that are interested, next Thursday will be your next Q&A. So there is a thread on YouTube's community section right now if you want to submit a question, or you can email me, dontony@dontony.com. We'll do the cutoff of questions next Wednesday, so then I could record it on Thursday, and it'll stream next weekend. Again, if you are interested on Thursday, and some of you will see this afterwards, just go to dontony.com, wherever you access the audio stuff. That will be up there. Yours truly versus Kevin Castle, complete with old school intro. And I promise you will not be disappointed at this one. This was very good. And never say never about another one. You know, we already talked about the idea of doing another one. So, but we don't want people to get used to it, because that's where you run into problems. So when we do it, it'll mean something. But much love, everybody. If you enjoyed tonight's show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that might enjoy the channel, let them know about it. I will be back here Saturday, 11 a.m., 11:05 a.m. for the Don Tony Show. But remember, tomorrow on Thursday, I will release the DTKC show episode that we did yesterday. And hope you enjoy it. Hope you send feedback. And yeah, I hope everybody has a good one. Be well. Post your comments. I read them. I read them all. Everybody reads them. I comment back as many as I could. You know, I will definitely get into some more tonight. And you all be well. Stay safe. Much love. You all take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.